Mirz Hashem, over Simchas Torah, we plan to read Vizos HaBracha. Vizos HaBracha is Moshe's final bracha to the Jewish people. According to Rabbi Soloveitchik, we read this parsha as a symbolic manner of taking our leave of our Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a halacha in Moed Katan that a Talmud can't depart from his Rebbe without giving the Rebbe a bracha. We, of course, don't have that type of relationship with the Rebbe, nor the responsibility, but Moshe Rabbeinu is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. So before he passes from the biblical stage, we take our leave from him by offering Vizos HaBracha. In Chassidus, of course, it's a bracha before we start learning Torah the entire year, and the bracha ensures that our Torah will be studied Lashma and will be durable and sustainable. So a few Rashis from Parshas Vizos HaBracha. It's interesting that Moshe begins the bracha by praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, describing Har Sinai. Vizos HaBracha Sheberech Moshe Yisrael Akim Es B'nei Yisrael L'Dei Moso. You'd expect him to launch immediately into the brachos and to deliver a bracha to Reuven and to all the other children, all the other Shvatim. And yet he takes a sidebar to Har Sinai. Yomar Hashem Misinai Ba V'Zerach Misir Lama. So Rashi notes this tangent, this peripheral statement. And Rashi claims, Pasach tchila b'shivacho shel makom, v'achar kach pasach b'tzarcheim shel Yisrael. Moshe begins his bracha by first glorifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of course the language of Rashi evokes a previous moment in which Moshe precedes Shevach to Bakasha, which is Parshas Veschanan, where Moshe is petitioning for his own needs. And before he asks Hashem to allow him entry into Eretz Yisrael, he begins to praise Hashem. And this sequencing serves as the model or the template for our own tefillos, which we begin with Shevach, and then subsequently launch into Bakasha during our Shemone Esrei. We proceed by praising Hashem, and then ultimately we lodge our petitions and our requests. So Moshe follows that same template, that same sequencing in Parshas Vizos HaBracha, before he delivers a bracha, which at least Rashi believes is not just a blessing, but a prayer and a petition that the needs of the Jewish people and the respective Shevatim should be secured. And Rashi is consistent in his entire treatment of Vizos HaBracha. Moshe's bracha are all forward-thinking requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to address the needs of the various Shevatim in their wars, particularly in the first Beis HaMikdash. So Moshe isn't just delivering a bracha. These brachas are part brachas, part bakashos, and therefore they're preceded with shevach. But it's interesting that the shevach that Moshe describes about Hashem is coded with some very interesting features. Hashem mi Sinai ba, v'zarach mi Seir lamo, hofia mehar paran, v'yasa mirevos kodesh. Many different coordinates to the delivery of the Torah. Is it Sinai? Is it Seir? Is it Har Paran? Is it Rivavos Kodesh? So famously, Rashi quotes the Midrash that Hashem shopped the Torah to all the nations, to the people of Seir, the Edomites, to the people of Har Paran, to the Bnei Yishmael, and each successively rejected Hashem's offer. They spurned HaKadosh Baruch Hu's offer because of the difficulty of maintaining the Torah's strictures. Yishmael was disappointed that it banned them from stealing and theft, so they rejected. And Edomites, Esav, were disturbed by the prospect of not murdering. But why is this mentioned here? It's an important footnote to Har Sinai, but why is it mentioned here? So Rashi senses this as well. It's very interesting, Rashi. It's a subtle point that could get overlooked. Uveshevach shepasach bo yesh bo haskaras schus liYisrael. The shevach that Moshe offers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the events of Har Sinai, they are in actuality themselves not shevach to Hashem solely, but also reminding Hashem of the merit of the Jewish people and how dedicated they were to him in accepting his Torah, when other nations would not, and they alone drew his presence into our world at great cost of embracing divine commandment and responsibility and mandate. And this sets the tone for the entire Vizos HaBracha. Rashi concludes, V'chol zeh derech ritzrihu. Essentially, Moshe is, this is his love song, his swan song, his final delivery to his beloved people. If you want, hold up Parshas Vezoos HaBracha in sharp relief to Parshas Hazino. The Torah should have logically concluded with Parshas Hazino, which is the final bris that had been iterated in Bechukosai and Kitavo and in Nitzavim, and now the bris is enshrined as a poem. But Moshe does not want to end the Torah with the stark consequences that a bris presents and projects. He wants to end the Torah with a bracha to his beloved people, and he wants to show his affection to them. But to show his affection and to offer tefillos for their future, he has to elicit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's siyata d'shmaya. He has to praise Hashem. But even in his praise is a backhanded compliment not only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for delivering the Torah, but to the Jewish people for enabling that delivery of the Torah by accepting it when other nations want it. So it's an interesting thread. The preface to the bracha is a shevach, but it's itself a bracha, and it sets the tone for, as Rashi says, kol zeh derech ritzoihu. It's merely asking Hashem to look at the Jewish people in a favorable light. Another Rashi, which interestingly enough has relevance to Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is not really a minhag or halacha that appears in the Gemara. It's about 1,000 years old. People think that it's Simchas Torah because we finished the Torah. In truth, we were finishing the Torah on the final day of Shemini Atzeres and Chutz La'aretz for hundreds of years before Simchas Torah emerged as a minhag. So reading Vezoos HaBracha and concluding the Torah at this point of the year is a standalone, self-justifying experience, even if there isn't a celebration of Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah cropped up or evolved at a popular level to mark the fact that we were concluding the Torah. So there's nothing inherent about Vezoos HaBracha for Simchas Torah. It's just this particular point of the year which Chazal decided to conclude the Torah based on our minhag of concluding it annually. So it's interesting to find a Rashi which I think has Simchas Torah connotations. Pasek av chovev amim kol kodoshav biyodecha v'him tekula raglecha yisa midabrosecha. So Rashi has two ways of explaining this. One is Af Chovev Amim Kol Kedoshem Biyodecha, and Hashem loves every Shevet, and each Shevet is considered a nation, and they all position themselves under your feet at Har Sinai. So essentially, this is a continuation of the previous pasuk of Har Sinai, that the first pasuk describes the fact that the Jewish people accepted it, coded by the rejection of the other nations, and the ensuing pasuk describes the love Hashem displayed to each Shevet, and the fact that they positioned themselves under Hashem's mountain, under His legs, and they received His word. And then Rashi has a different run. And this is a run, or this is an explanation, which I think is relevant to Simchas Torah. Av chovev amim, even when you show your favor to other nations, not to the Jewish people, to chovev amim, kol kedoshav biyodecha. Your people, your tzaddikim, your people still adhere to, even though they went through hardship, and doubt, and suffering, and galus. Even during the time of Chovev Amim, which empires rose and fell and emerged on the world scene and then receded, we remain faithful to you. Kol kedoshav biyadecha v'him tukul raglecha. We placed ourselves at your feet and under your shade, as Rashi writes, atachat silcha. Then the pasuk concludes, Yisa midaber osecha. How did this happen? Because we accepted your words. Midaber osecha means your words, midaber. Rashi interprets it as your gezeros, your decrees, but it could also be interpreted, and others do interpret it, as your Torah. Yisami dab rosecha, we accepted your Torah. Namely, despite the loss of sovereignty, land, Beis HaMikdash, national identity, one thing remained intact, and that was our Torah. Even during the time of Chovev Amim, of other nations being beloved and selected for prejudicial treatment, we remained adherent and faithful to you. Kol kedoshav biyadecha v'im tekula raglecha. And we fortified that relationship without any other element available to us or feature to us because of Yisa Midabro Secha. And this is so resonant about Simchas Torah, because Simchas Torah became Simchas Torah because of Galus. Namely, Shemini Atzeres was 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, as it is still for those who live in Chutz La'aretz. And Shemini Atzeres has no concrete symbols to it, so it's hard to wrap your head around the symbolism of Shemini Atzeres. But it's only 2 days is more difficult, and it was a natural invitation to create a holiday called Simchas Torah on the day that we finished reading from the Torah. So this historical description in Parshas Vezoos HaBracha of Torah sustaining our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much helps us understand and corresponds to a galus scenario in which we didn't have the Beis HaMikdash and all we had was Torah, and we had to slot in Torah in place of some of the ceremonies of the Beis HaMikdash, which were the core of Shemini Atzeres, and that allowed Shemini Atzeres to morph into basically Simchas Torah. Today, even in Chutz Laretz, where the 2 days are separate, many people even refer to the 2 days as Simchas Torah, even the day of Shemini Atzeres, which is not really the day in which the minhagim of Simchas Torah begin to emerge. They refer to it as the 2 days of Simchas Torah. So the Yisam Yidabar Osecha, which Rashi pitches in his second version as our counter to Chovev Amim, Hashem show prejudice and love to other nations, but we stuck to him and adhered to him and remained faithful, in part by maintaining and embracing his Torah, is very much a gloss for how Simchas Torah became Simchas Torah, specifically in Galus. One final Rashi about Zevulun's bracha. Most of us are familiar with the brachas of Ruven, Yechi Ruven, Val Yemos, Yosef's brachas, which are very extensive and very tasty, and we megad Shemayin Yitol, we megad Gerish Yerachim, a lot of good food. But what about Zevulun's bracha? So, Smach Zevulun Betzisecha, V'sechar Biolachas. So this is the classic moment in which the division of labor between Zevulun and Yisachar is highlighted. Zevulun supporting Yisachar, Zevulun living on the coast, Zevulun being seafaring sailors involved in commerce, very wealthy. But the next pasuk is a little bit more ambiguous. Amim har yikro. People will call it a mountain. Sham yizbechu zivchei tzedek. They will offer korbanos. Ki shefayim im yinaku, because they will draw the abundance from the sea. Usfuni tumunecho, and items of worth that are typically covered by sand will be uncovered. So, what is this mountain? Amim har yikro, the nations will call it a mountain, and they'll offer sacrifices. And who are these nations? So one pshat in Rashi is, again, the Jewish people will get together and offer their korbanos, and Zevulun and Yisachar will reinvent their relationship when they gather at Yerushalayim. It's nothing that's latent in Rashi. But then he has a different pshat, davar acher. Amim har yikro, the nations are not the Jewish people, the nations are international community. How will they get to the har? How will Amim har yikro? How will the nations get to this har, which is obviously Har Moriah, and offer sacrifices? And why does it appear in the bracha of Zevulun? So Rashi says as follows, that merchants from other nations would visit Zevulun because they lived on the coast, they maintained the ports, they were the business associates. And when they would visit Zevulun to inquire, to deal, to exchange trade secrets and material, they would say, well, we're already here. We're in Israel. We're on the coast. We're in Tel Aviv. We're in Haifa. Let's go visit Yerushalayim. And let's see their religious world. And then they'd come to Yerushalayim, to the Har. They'd be shocked by the monotheism, by the unity, by the dignity of religion, that people are so different, but yet they all worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'heim omrim ein uma kusher kezip. This is a special nation, and this is a unique form of religion. Or misgayrin sham. And there they would convert, be Jews. Again, whether they actually converted or they offered korbanos, they were, Rashi feels that they would convert, but they understood monotheism, and they would offer korbanos. The guy is allowed to offer a korban. Ki besi besi tzvila yikari l'chol ha'amim. Namely, it was the business and the money and the financial interest that drew them to Israel to begin with. And having been in Israel, then they understood the deeper dignity of the Jewish people and the uniqueness of their religion. Well, sometimes you read a Rashi or a Medrash, and it just seems so prophetic, and you feel like you're living through that Rashi. Baruch Hashem, in 2018, the state of Israel has become an economic, technological, and cultural superpower. And so many people who are not interested in the religion we're trying to represent and that we are God's people and the moral example we're trying to set for this world, they just are drawn to the high-tech hub of Tel Aviv, to the academic center in Haifa, and the engineering talents that our people have. And they're drawn to us, and when they come, they realize who we are, And maybe it's not expressed in a patently religious sense, but they understand who we are as a democracy, who we are as a culture. And some of them are able to appreciate those who have more of a religious bent. And it's something which is enabled or catalyzed by the financial interests, just as it was through Zevulun. So Zevulun served as the portal to entering Israel and appreciating the greater miracle of the Jewish people and their religion. And today we could say that high tech has replaced the role of Zevulun on the coast. So three interesting Rashis of Zosavra. Good job, Tiffany.